The following program deals with the topic of depression. It doesn't get depressive, and it certainly shouldn't depress anyone listening, but the topic of depression is very much there, and we hope we deal with this topic openly and honestly. If you are affected by any issues discussed in this show, or are indeed suffering from depression and need some help, there are various websites and helplines which will be mentioned later in the show, and which are listed on our website at sodshow.com. In Dublin on 103.2 Dublin City FM and all over the world via podcast in association with Audio Boo, you're welcome to The Sod Show. From the studios of Dublin City FM, on FM Fridays at 3 p.m. and anytime worldwide in podcast, it's Dublin's only garden radio show in association with greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. This is The Sod Show. Yes, it is The Sod Show, the award-winning and all-natural weekly gardening show and podcast brought to you once again by our wonderful, benevolent friends in greensacks.ie, creators of the also award-winning and all-natural and 100% compostable bin liners. Basically, this means these bin liners from greensacks.ie, they actually break down completely and quickly in composting, helping to return nutrients to the earth and support a new generation of growth. Isn't that nice? Yes, it is. And you can get them in most major retailers. I've seen them myself recently in both Spar and Dunn stores. Highly recommend them, greensacks.ie. And apart, of course, from making these wonderful bags, they bring you this, The Sod Show. Before we get into the show proper, let's have this week's news. Well, it's amazing we're a sixth of the way through 2013 already, 2 months down, and a cold couple of months at that. So we're into March now, and tomorrow, Saturday the 2nd of March 2013, sees the first plant fair of the year. It's a chance to enjoy the early spring gardens with sheets of snowdrops and hellebores, narcissus and crocus. Hope I'm saying that right. It takes place between 11 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. at Belfield House in Shinrone. That's between Burr and Roscrea in County Offaly. There'll be over 20 specialist nurseries with new, unusual and rare varieties of snowdrops, hellebores, erythroniums, and again, I hope I pronounced that one right, clematis and summer perennials and rare shrubs and trees. Plus, you can enjoy delicious homemade food from the Gaelic kitchen in the stable tea rooms, explore the gardens at your leisure and attend workshops in the coach house. Sounds good to you? Well, entrance is a fiver and there's free car parking. For a map and for more information, contact Angela Jupe via her website. That's Angela Jupe, J-U-P-E .ie, or email angelajupe@gmail.com. Now, I must give a special mention to the Urban Composter Bucket, which I've personally been testing out here over the last couple of months in my city centre apartment here in Dublin. It's a quick and easy way to create compost from old food scraps, general kitchen waste, that kind of thing. I have to admit, when I first received the composter, I promptly broke the clip on the lid. Believe me, it wasn't that it was very easily broken. If something can be broken at all in any way, you can be sure that once it gets into my hands, I'll find that way. But breaking the lid meant that the unit wasn't vacuum sealed when I closed it, so it wasn't doing its job properly. But I got a new lid from the guys, they're very good, and sent out a new one to me. And since fitting the new lid, I've found that it quite literally does exactly what it says on the tin, as the Ron Seal man would say. And it's turned my bucket full of random food waste, everything from porridge to peas, from mushrooms to mashed potato, into a pile of black sludge, which, when the time is right, looks like it'll be perfect compost for getting things growing again out on my balcony. Also, there's a little tap at the bottom of the unit, out of which a sludgy green goo comes, and when you dilute that, it works really well to fertilise houseplants. So my little dragon tree, which I've recently transplanted into a bigger pot, is thriving nicely, thanks to the remnants of our dinners from the past 3 months. Sounds odd, but there you go. It's turning me into a little bit more green-fingered a person than I used to be, which I quite like. I'm going to highly recommend the Urban Composter Bucket. It just goes to show that anyone can make their own compost and get a bit more green-fingered, no matter if you've got a large, expansive back garden or not. And you can find out more about it and order one for yourself at Urban Composter Ireland.com. Finally, for now, if you are looking for a great day out, then you can't go too far wrong with a trip to Sonarta Ecology Centre. You may remember we spoke recently to Trevor Sargent of Sonarta on the show. Sonarta is a place where Peter himself loves to go to escape the hustle and bustle, but it's still very much everything he says he loves about horticulture and the great outdoors. Peter himself will be giving a talk on the evolution of landscape design dating all the way back to the 17th century right up to today in Sonarta. If you're interested in popping along, it's taking place this Sunday at 3 p.m. and it'll only cost you £3 to get in. There should be more than enough time afterwards as well for a bit of a chat and a bit of a Q&A with Peter himself. For more info on how to get there, contact details, all the rest, check out Peter's blog, and there's a link to the relevant post on today's show notes up on sodshow.com. Of course, you will also find all the links for anything mentioned in this little newsy bit on sodshow.com. And if you've anything for the Sod Show's newsy bits, give us a shout via the contact page on sodshow.com or tweet us. We're at sodshow on Twitter. Okay, now, without further ado, it's time to head up the country to Peter Dunnigan and a very special guest. Peter, where exactly up the country are you?
I'm in Dundalk. It's the halfway meeting point between Dublin and
Belfast, pretty much.
In my company is Ian Price. Ian, what would you be?
Well, I went and studied garden design specifically, so I can quite happily call myself a garden designer, but I also do the whole landscaping side of things. Know how to put a brick beside a brick, basically.
How old is Ian Price?
Ian's 35, coming up 36 in another few weeks.
Great age. I used to grow plants under my bed. You woke up one morning when you were 4, 5, 7, 10, 13, 22 and said, I'm going to study horticulture. Were you formerly in construction, formerly a bank manager? How did it all work out?
I started growing plants when I was a child on the windowsill, covered the parents' house with trays of lettuce and everything else. And then at the age of 14, I thought, actually, I want to do this for a living. I want to design gardens because Jeff Hamilton was quite a big influence on me from the TV. I used to come home from Scouts every Friday night and sit down and watch Gardener's World, which is a bit abnormal for a 14-year-old.
I'm laughing with you, not at you, and I'm entirely empathising. I would have been watching Jeff in black and white, no doubt, and trying to figure out what on earth colour were the flowers on those plants. You're doing something a little bit big. You're heading for what most Ireland-based landscape designers would suggest is heading towards Top of the Pops. It's across the water, so to speak, to the other island, to do something that is a lot bigger than either of the two garden shows that we have in Ireland. There are two. One is Bloom in the Park and the other is Garden Show, which is taking place this year in Hillsborough. You're heading to where?
I'm headed to Hampton Court this year.
How big is Hampton Court for those who don't know? I mean, in football terms, it's not the Premier League. That would be, I suppose, Chelsea. Is it the Championship? Without diminishing or making it smaller, but just to let people know.
It is the biggest flower show in the UK, size-wise, participants-wise, and number of gardens-wise. It's got 180,000 visitors on average every year to it over the six-day period. So it is quite large.
How much does it cost to put a garden together in Hampton Court?
How long's the piece of string, Peter, to be honest with you? I'm not going to commit to anything of that sort of nature, but it is a lot more expensive than your average garden. Mainly because of the number of plants, the amount of organisation that goes into it, in terms of all the preparation. It all has to be spot on for the 3 weeks that you've got to build this thing from start to finish.
I know I did Bloom twice, and anybody who knows me will know that I have. When I was building a garden in Dublin, I wake up in Dublin, I'm in my own bed, I drive to the Phoenix Park in Dublin, it takes me approximately 35 minutes to get there. Should I forget something, I can take a 35 minute journey back and go back again. You're doing it slightly differently in that you're based in Belfast and you're heading towards London.
Yeah, it is. It's a little more complicated than just popping down the road, as you say. The good thing is I've got a good contractor on board who's from that area, and he's done several of the Chelsea, the and the other RHS shows, including Hampton Court, and has got his golds and silvers and his a lot of experience and background knowledge behind him. So I'm relying on him to do the physical side of things, and I'll bring along the creative side and the design side.
Are you normally landscape design in Belfast? Because, I mean, fair to say, there aren't too many garden designers in Ireland, north or south, who can make a living full-time from putting a pencil on a piece of paper. Most of them have to get involved in the behind the scenes and do the draw and do the actual build itself. Are you a bit more like that when you're based in Belfast?
It is a mixture of both. I mean, it is I aim primarily for the design side of things. You know, that's what I trained in, that's what I enjoy, and that's my primary love. But I also love getting my hands dirty, and all the way from driving a digger to to putting the plants in, to finishing the deck and the walls, whatever it may be. I can do all of that. So when it comes to the smaller jobs, I do take them on myself. But when it comes to the larger side of things, I have the ability to pull on other contractors to make that happen.
How is your experience in show garden design and building to date?
I've done several. I've done, including the Garden Show Ireland up in Hillsborough. The latest one that I did there in 2011, based on a similar theme of what I'm proposing for Hampton Court. It's an experience. I mean, it's full on. It's 15-hour days, but
15? You're joking me and the rest.
I'm taking out sleep out of this that I'm meant to be sleeping. But yeah, I mean, it is full on for the full time of the build. It's really fun though.
There's a little bit of a story behind Ian's garden, and for those of you at home listening to this, you'll be fully aware that, you know, we like to keep it upbeat, happy. This is supposed to be the happiest 30 minutes of your Friday. But behind the scenes, Ian's garden, One for the Journey, has a little bit of a message, and we're going to take it this side of the song, and then we'll come back and talk more gardenings after that. What is the behind the scenes of it, Ian? Where did it all come from?
Peter, as you said, the garden's called One for the Journey, and the reason for that is because the garden is to generate awareness about depression. 1 in 4 people in the UK and Ireland have been diagnosed with moderate to severe depression, and I am one of those. And this garden has been quite cathartic for me to try and tell my story, because I'm in the position now where I'm been able to be honest with myself about the depression that I had suffered, and the reason that I'm doing it is to share it with others who are in a similar position that I was in and can realize that they're not on their own, and there is, with help and hard work, you can and will get better.
Do you want to go into your own side of it a little bit more in depth, or is that something that if people want to find out more, they can kind of give you a call and have a chat with you about it?
Well, people are more than welcome to get in touch with me. With building the promotion for this, I've already had people from as far away as the United States contacting me and telling me that they've read my story on my website, ianpricedesign.com, and they've managed to get some relief and some help and positivity from it. And that's been very, very humbling to me, to know that even with just writing about the garden that I'm proposing, it's actually creating a positive message from fellow sufferers as well.
What does the story on the website say?
After a period of about 13 or 15 years of bouncing up and down with depression and not knowing what was wrong, trying to get help in various different ways that I thought I was getting better, then I wasn't. Medication, off the medication. I eventually ended up in hospital in December 2010 after a suicide attempt. Now, I'm not ashamed of that. And there's many, many other people in this world that shouldn't be ashamed as well, because I was ill. I didn't know what was going on in my head. I didn't know how to get it fixed. And I didn't know where to go to get help to get it fixed. So by combining my life experience with my work experience, as in gardens and my depression, what I tried to do is combine the two, which gardens can be a therapy for depression as well. I mean, the more and more that I've sort of been exploring this and reading into it, the more obvious that it is, and the more obvious that it should have been that somebody's come up with this idea, you know, and created it many moons ago. But what I'm trying to do is mainly share the message that depression isn't the end. And it's a garden about depression. It's not a depressing garden. Now, don't get me wrong now, Peter. The whole garden's a journey. And that's what I say. That's why it is One for the Journey, to reinforce the message that 1 in 4 people have been diagnosed.
Is there a bit in between all of this? Because I know we all have our down days, and I know we have down times, and we all have down periods. But I've got many faces. I say many faces, and that sometimes I might wear a shirt and I might wear a pair of jeans, and sometimes I might wear a pair of shorts and a t-shirt. But people generally expect me to be a little bit manly man, tree hug, flowers in your hair, happy, kind of go lucky, and Irish BJ's begorra a bit, to the extent that, you know, I won't say that I need to keep the happy face constantly on, but is there a bit where being from this beautiful island in which we live as a man, garden outdoors, that you're not supposed to show that unhappiness? Does that paint the right picture?
No, I totally get exactly where you're coming from. I put on that mask for a long number of years. And there's basically 10 years of my life that I can't chronologically put in order, because of the depression it took over me. And I was in the same position. I didn't want to be seen to be weak, to be seen to be suffering, to be seen to be not be able to handle life. And that's what I couldn't do at that time. But I'm over the majority of that now. I've no shame in what I've done. And this is the biggest thing that I'm trying to get across to people. There's no shame in being ill. I mean, if you've broken your leg, you go in the hospital, you get your plaster put on it. Then when the plaster comes off, you have to go and get your physiotherapy. But that leg still can be weak. And that's the way I look at my brain, my head. It was broken, and now it was getting fixed, but it's still the potential for being broken still.
you've kind of mapped out certain parts of your life. Where I used to grow plants under my bed, you were on a window ledge. You were interested in horticulture around about the same time. We would have watched the same gardening programs. We went to college around the same time. We were almost the same age. I think I'm a year older than you, although I look a lot better and a lot younger.
Yeah, I'll lend you my glasses.
Yeah, thanks very much. But in between all of this, I suppose there's a bit where you want to do yourself proud and you don't want to let the people around you down. Was there a bit when you decided to tell the story publicly that it was mildly frowned upon, or that you maybe shouldn't have, or that you had to think twice about that? And I suppose against that, do you think it's for the better that you have decided to tell this story, albeit via a garden, which is a nice, happy way to turn a negative into a positive?
There was a few people who were close to me turned around and said, well, first of all, Ian, can you handle doing this? You know, from your own mind's perspective, are you strong enough to do this? And yes, I am now. And then there was other people coming, well, are you not going to put people off by telling people you've got depression or have had depression or have been where you've been? To be honest, if they want to think that, that's entirely up to them. But there's a lot more people out there who are suffering on their own, who don't know that message.
Do you think potential clients will look at you slightly differently with that in mind?
There is the potential for those people to look at me that way. I've had one client who's actually encouraged me, and he's bringing me back to do more in another couple of months' time. So, I mean, that's one client, that's one personal message and one personal contact. But if that's the way most people think, then that's brilliant.
You have to bear in mind, I studied horticulture. Ian studied a variant of horticulture, but nonetheless important within all of this is, should you feel or you are suffering a little bit with depression, we do have a list of places that you can go to seek a bit of help or talk to somebody and have a chat and not feel like you are on your own in this journey. You'll find all of those up on sodshow.com. I think it's probably a really appropriate time for myself and Ian to go and get a cup of coffee. Don't you go anywhere too far away from your stereo. We'll be back to you after this song. Niall, what have you got lined up for me? Make it bright and cheery, my good man.
No problem, Peter. I will indeed make it bright and cheery, and something that'll make people possibly want to just get out there in the sunshine and enjoy themselves in their gardens and do something productive. This may not be California, but that doesn't mean that we can't treat it like it is and enjoy ourselves like as if we're out in the warm California sun. It's the Rivieras on the Sod Show with a song that comes from the soundtrack of Good Morning Vietnam.
Days are short and the nights are long. Where they walk, and I walk. They twist, and I'll twist. They shimmy, and I'll shimmy. They fly, and I'll fly. Well, they're out there having fun in that warm California sun. Well, I'm going out of west out on the coast, where the California girls are really the most. A pretty little chick wherever you go.
I'm must admit, I have always wanted to do that Good Morning Vietnam thing on a radio show, and there I just got to do it right here on the Sod Show. The Rivieras from the soundtrack of Good Morning Vietnam, and they're out there having fun in the warm California sun. Well, let's go to not so much the warm California sun, and not even the warm Dundalk sun, just to Dundalk. And back to part two of the Sod Show, and talking to Ian Price, let's go back to Peter Dunnigan.
Welcome back to part two of the Sod Show. In my company still, Ian Price of IanPriceDesigns.com. Ian is on the verge of heading towards Hampton Court for 2013. That's the Royal Horticultural Society show. The garden is called One for the Journey, and it's a garden which tells the story of one in four people suffering with and recovering from depression. Ian, the garden itself, what can people expect to see?
This, the garden, the One for the Journey show garden, is literally as it sounds. It is a journey. It's taking the one in four message and it's splitting it up, creating four main areas. The lowest point is where you start off in the garden. And each of these four areas have a wall, an area of water, a tree, and the planting in and around it. The whole idea with this is as you progress up and out of the ground is for your perception of the world around you to change. So you've still got the same wall, you've still got a tree, you've still got planting and the water as well. And it's how you look at those to see whether they're happy environment or a sad environment. In and around that bottom area, there are plants in there that look unhealthy, look dead. Like Carex Buchanii, for example, is the bronze grass that looks very dead. It looks like my girlfriend's been looking after it for a fortnight, to be honest. Yeah, she can kill Chris, and she's also going to kill me after she hears this. There are rocks in there. There's four large boulders and four smaller boulders. Again, it's the one in four message. And rocks are imposing, but they can also feel grounded and feel safe. You can't see exactly where the path leads out, but the one path that you can see leads to a dead end. It leads to the back of the next wall. That represents the fact that people start off in a certain direction of getting help, and it doesn't work out for them. And they end up right back to where they start again, through no fault of their own. But there's so many different variations and variety of help out there that you got to try several before they work for you, the individual. In and around this area, the plants are going to be, you know, from the bottom, they're going to be such a contrast from the dead looking. They're like a Karokia, which is a wire netting bush, which is dead looking. The New Zealand plant is gorgeous. But I'm going to completely sort of flip that in its head and use some of those same plants that I've used down at the bottom, but also embellish it with blousier plants, happier plants, you know, foliage and lushness and colour in this space.
Are people like a, you know, like coming home from work after a tough day, and, you know, when you turn on the television, I wouldn't, but others might, and you hear the Vincent Browns and the BBC Question Times, and you're kind of going, oh, for God's sake, like, much more of this crap can you take before you actually want to throw a brick through the television, you know, without being disrespectful. But are people going to look at this garden and kind of go, I don't feel terribly happy after this? Or are they going to walk in and come out the far end of it and go, big boom and smile, glad I went to see that, I'm a happier, better, let's go get ice cream and strawberries kind of a chappy after it? Is it one of them? Do you get what I'm asking you?
Well, there is that certain element. People are going to go, oh, I don't like the look of this area as a garden as they see it. The biggest thing is I want people to look at a garden and not have to work at it, but let it explain itself nearly. Because you start at the bottom, you work your way up. It's an obvious journey for me, and it's exactly how I felt as I was going along. And from what I've been talking to other people, it's exactly the same as how they felt. You know, I've had a lot of people relate to this and go, actually, that's exactly my journey, my story. And, well, I don't know you, and I've never met you before, and this is the first time we've met, and you're telling me that you've been there and done that with me. And to me, that's what this is all about.
Story aside, I've never met Ian Price before. I have never listened to this podcast or radio show before. I walk in, take a photograph of that garden, I bring it home, I show it to my mom, and I go, Mom, and she goes, man, that's a good looking garden. Will that happen?
Yeah. Yeah, there's no reason why it shouldn't. When I first showed this to the RHS, I was originally going to put it in as a concept garden. For those that don't know about the RHS, Hampton Court especially, what they do is they've gardens that tell more of a story than they look more of a garden. You know, they're a book with plants rather than a garden that looks pretty or is enjoyable or good to relax in or whatever. The show manager straight away turned around and says, no, Ian, this shouldn't be a concept garden. This should be a real garden. So by her turning around to me, saying that within about 20 seconds of me showing this drawing to her, that told me an awful lot. I mean, I want people to take away, who don't necessarily understand the message or don't need to or don't want to, that's totally up to them, that's fine. I want people to take elements of this and go, actually, I can apply this in my little courtyard, my space. I can make this bigger. There are a lot of elements within that and materials that I've used in different ways that can be manipulated and changed, as they should be, to everybody else's own personal space.
Stories aside, I know from garden building, and again, just to double underline, it is so far from the reality of building what Ian and I would know as a normal domestic or office or hotel kind of a garden. I also know from show gardening, it's a bit like being online. You turn around and you say, I like that television program or I like that football team. 50 might agree with you, 50 may equally lambast you. And I have been in equal measures applauded and criticised for one plant in one corner or three plants in three corners. If you're going to go look at this, put on two hats. One is the one that's in your heart. The second one should be from the horticultural bit. That's what show gardens are all about. You're allowed to love them. You're also allowed to hate them. Behind the scenes of all of this, there is a bit of a message. If you want to find out more, if you want to talk more, if you want to chat more, Ian, you're on the Twitter thingy. At
Ian Price Design, you can get it through my website, which is ianpricedesign.com.
What dates are the RHS on Hampton Court?
The press day is on the 8th of July, and it runs until the 15th, I think it is. But the 3 weeks preceding that are where hell kicks off.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, wish them all the best. Ian Price, thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Niall, it's back to you in the studio.
Thanks, Peter. Just before we go, as I said at the start of the show, as we're discussing depression today, it would be remiss of me not to mention a couple of websites and phone numbers of organisations who can help those 1 in 4 who are dealing with it on a daily basis. First off, there's Aware. In the Republic of Ireland, you can call 1-890-303-302 or visit aware.ie. While in Northern Ireland, the web address is aware-ni.org.uk, or you can call 08451 20 29 61. Also, of course, there is the Samaritans, who can be contacted in the UK and Northern Ireland on 08457 90 90 90 or on 1850 60 90 90 in the Republic of Ireland, or via their website at samaritans.org. There are other organisations also, including Headstrong, who deal with youth mental health issues, and grow.ie, the world community mental health movement in Ireland. For more links and contact details such as these, see today's show notes on sodshow.com. Now, do I need to remind you once again how very lovely the people in greensax.ie are for sponsoring our wonderful award-winning show? No? Oh, good. But I can just remind you that you can find their compostable bags for home and garden in all good stores, including Dunn's Stores. I found it in Charlestown right now, and that their bags are completely biodegradable and therefore live up to their green colour nicely. We'll be back with another Sod Show at the same time next week, Friday, 3 p.m. on 103.2 Dublin City FM, and after tea time on podcast via Audio Boo and iTunes. And we'll be keeping it green next week as we return to Ballymun for part 2 of our Eco Store special with Tara Singleton. Until then, whatever you do in the great outdoors and whoever you do it with, enjoy yourselves. From Peter and myself, take care.